This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to That Sports Show. You're with Stuart in the panel seat tonight and my co-host Mel.
Hi, Stu. I'm letting you drive the car tonight.
You are, and that's because we're mainly doing the talking ourselves.
Yeah, we are. So there's no difficulties of telephone guests or in-studio guests. It's just us tonight.
We're our own special guest stars.
Well, we haven't seen you for such a long time. I've been driving the car by myself for such a long time. It's good to be in the passenger seat.
Well, it's great to be in the studio, but I, amongst all the listeners, I'm sure, and you, I'm sure, as well, are in an absolute state of shock with the American election result.
Yes, that's right. It just happened. But, hey, I'm sure they talked about that on The Informer, which is at 6:30, Joy's News and Current Affairs show. But, yeah, we can have a little chat about it and how it will affect maybe GLBTI sports, Stuart.
Well, I just can't believe that all the technology, all the big data, the sophisticated modelling that the American and international newsrooms bring to this amazing presidential politics election, that they couldn't actually...
Where did you get that from?
That they couldn't actually... predict the result. But I suppose what's unpredictable is the number of people that actually do vote, because there's not a mandatory voting system. So people just come out of the woodwork on election day, and we don't know how many will do that.
Well, that actually, I was listening to another station in the car on the way in because I wanted to hear election analysis. And they were saying, oh, hello. Yeah, I'm still here. they were saying that that only about 60% of people voted in the 1960s during Vietnam, and then only about 50-something percent of people voted when Obama was around. And they were saying that... is my mic not working?
No, your mic's working.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yes. They were saying that that they're not sure, but they think that Trump got a lot of middle class white voters out.
Yes.
And the blacks and the Latinos, African Americans and Latinos, they didn't come out to vote because Obama wasn't running.
Actually, so. No. That can I just correct?
Oh, will you please correct me?
So Clinton's support from minorities fell short. It wasn't the numbers who voted, but she just didn't do as well as a proportion than Obama did. He won the minorities. She didn't win.
Oh,
the
he won them easily.
Trump did better amongst the minorities than, surprisingly, I mean, even amongst Hispanics, he did better amongst them than Clinton did. So what's the analysis there? The analysis is probably that jobs matter most in America, and for some reason, people believe that Trump is their saviour on jobs and the economy.
Well, that's right. And the other thing I was listening to on that station, it said that... it was the ABC. It said that he promised two things. He promised jobs in the Rust Belt and everywhere, and he's promised to build the wall between the US and Mexico. Now, he won't be able to do either, and people will realise that.
Well, there already is kind of a wall anyway, which involves a river and a lot of gates.
Yeah, I know. That's the Rio Grande, but that's only half of it. The other half... They would need a wall because from the top of the Rio Grande at the top of Texas, there's still New Mexico, Arizona and California, etc., that they don't have a wall. So there are parts of walls there, actually, but not fully. But, hey...
We digress.
We should digress because we're here to talk about sport. I know you and I could talk about politics all day.
Why don't we start with the cricket? Because that's obviously been a big news story of the last week.
Well, Stuart, it's now summer. The summer sports have taken over. The spring... Racing Carnival is over,
yes.
And so it's now summer, and so it's cricket. Now,
yes, no, I was actually in Perth for the test. I was there for the first day and part of the second, and it was phenomenal because it was such a great day for Australia. I mean, the whacker is, and my understanding is it's the last time that there'll be test match cricket there.
They're going to play at the new Perth Stadium that they're building.
Which looks beautiful.
Yeah, but I was going to segue into we're having a lot of cricket because, yes, you were at the cricket, and you got to see us winning, and you love winners. Mm. But as soon as you left, they started losing. So you should have stayed the whole 5 days.
Well, on that first day, the Australians bowled the South Africans out fairly cheaply for a score in the low 200s.
Yes.
And then they batted, and David Warner racked up a very quick 50-something, really, really quick, and including a six, which was amazing because he just put his bat up in the air and it flicked off his bat.
Did you catch it?
Right to the boundary, which was phenomenal.
Yes.
They scored 105 for loss of no wicket overnight, so it looked like the Australians were going to romp it in. But the second day was a disaster. After that initial partnership, they lost a lot of wickets.
Yep. And Australian great national cricket selector Mark Waugh lamented how the batsmen lost focus, mental focus, he said. And he just couldn't understand why they slumped to their 177-run loss in the first test against Perth after having South Africa on the ropes on day two, as you saw. They just seem to relax when they're in front, and you can't do that. You have to have the pedal to the metal the whole time, and you have to want to win at all times, and you want to make the best score, and you want to keep getting that. But they just seem to lose it. And I also thought their bowling stocks aren't too good either.
Yeah, Mark Wall was saying, I mean, is that we get an initial good partnership. I mean, it's based on two innings, mind you, but good partnership,
and then they
just lose wickets in blocks.
Yeah, and I just don't understand it.
And another problem for the Proteas, the South Africans, is that they were able to win without their pace spearhead Dale Steyn, who broke down
Steyn.
Just one wicket into Australia's second innings.
He's the best bowler in the world, Dale Steyn, and he's been spearheading them for a long time. And he wasn't even there, but they had some other ones, and they even threw in part time bowlers who were getting us out. I was listening to some of the coverage in the car at some point. So yes, that's disappointment, but there could be some hope on the horizon. There is talk that Shane Warne might be parachuted in to coach the Australian team for the T20s.
Yeah, so we're now turning to T20s.
Yeah, T20s against Sri Lanka. Because the reason being, not because they're sacking Darren Lehman or David Saker, who's second in charge, because they'll be unavailable. They'll be in India getting ready for the test series against India.
But I really like Shane Warne's quote, where he famously quipped in disparaging the role of John Buchanan during Australia's glory days as a coach.
Previous coach,
he says that a coach is something you travel into to get to and from the game.
Oh, that's like a bus.
There you go, Malcolm. Yeah, so 2 minutes ago.
Oh.
So Warne's put up his hand to temporarily fill in for Darren Lehman in February, but it's actually really a bit of a gap that's being filled, because what's actually happening is Australia's on the hunt for a caretaker head coach for the three-match 2020 series against Sri Lanka.
That's right. I said that because they will be in India ready for the test series against India, which we have a very poor record in India, and hopefully we can turn that around. Remember, we got thrashed by Sri Lanka just couple of months ago.
Yes, and so the three-match series is going to take place in Adelaide, Melbourne and Geelong.
Oh, at Cardinia Park.
There you go, yes.
And where's the Melbourne? The Melbourne game will probably be MCG, I'd say, and Adelaide will be at the wonderful new Adelaide Oval. Mm.
But the other candidates for the role are Jason Gillespie, Ricky Ponting, Mike Hussey and potential others. So maybe Shane won't get it.
Oh, they didn't mention them. Jason Gillespie did wonderful work in England. He turned the English bowlers around to be better than ours. And because they didn't want him here, so England got him, and he built them up to be world beaters.
Yeah.
Now,
why don't we have some women's sport? What about netball?
No,
We're
still talking about cricket, Stuart, and then we'll move to netball because now former New Zealand captain Stephen Fleming reckons they should scrap T20s to make it more interesting for Test cricket, make them a four-day game instead of dragging on to 5 days, knowing that you've only got 4 days to win the match, so people will use different tactics to win the match. And he says T20s should be scrapped. So the cricket schedule is already too crowded, and he thinks T20 is too much. But I would say crowds and bums on seats and money would beg to differ.
True, and this test did well. If it was a four-day test, perhaps it would have been more interesting because the South Africans would have declared earlier to give Australia a target and have to hit out.
How many were there on the first day when you were there?
Oh, it's not a big ground. I mean, there's
10,
big
000.
Stadium gaps. Yes, I would say that at the most. Mm. Yeah.
Was it nice?
Beautiful ground,
nice,
massive members area, the punters were loving it. I must say, it was beautiful to be able to see so close to the action at a reasonable price. Those tickets were between $30 and $50. For a full day's test action. It was very good.
Oh, you weren't in the members then?
No.
Okay. Now, yes, we can move to some women's sport now, Stuart.
Okay. So in the netball, the new captain of the Australian team is going to be Shani Layton.
Shani. That's right. I saw Shani on TV the other day. She's a feisty defender.
Mm.
And she has a... she has a profile, and I think that's important for netball, having a profile amongst netball, because the captain, of course, Laura Geitz, is pregnant. So she's out, and her replacement, Claire McMenamin, she retired. So Shani is now the captain.
Left some room for generational change. So Shani's come up to the captaincy, while shooter Caitlin Thwaites and mid-corner Kim Ravion have been elevated to vice-captaincy roles.
Yeah, and that's succession planning there, definitely. So very interesting times ahead. They're playing a quad series against South Africa, England, and who was the other country? Oh,
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Thank you. So good luck to Shani.
Yeah. Now, you need to talk about the next one because it's a bit awkward.
Awkward, yeah. Your favourite rugby league player, Jared Hayne, has been caught in a pornography gaffe. I actually saw vision of this on the telly.
Yes, I know. So did I.
Yeah. He was presenting an online safety talk at a Gold Coast high school, and Norton Security, who were involved in it, this pornography came up on the screen. And they said it wasn't his phone because his phone was an iPhone and the pornography came from a Samsung. But I reckon that was just their publicity. I reckon it was his. What do you think?
Well, it's a bit awkward because Norton are obviously involved in IT security and he was speaking on their behalf. Mm. So how did that get into the system then, et cetera, et cetera? So it's very awkward.
Well, this was the first time he was involved in one of their talks, and all their previous talks not involving him, there hasn't been a glitch. So I reckon that's their excuse. It's just like, our sensors. They blame it on cyber attacks. But I actually say, this is my view, the sensors crash because so many people trying to get on at one time, the website couldn't cope.
I understand that the Canadian immigration sites crashed in the wake of Trump's election. Too many people trying to
That's
leave.
A joke, isn't it?
Rugby union, what's going on there?
Well, you know that this year, the Cronulla Sharks have won the premiership in the NRL. The Western Bulldogs have won the premiership in the AFL. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series after 108-year wait. Well, an even longer streak has just been broken, Stuart. The Irish rugby union team has beaten the New Zealand All Blacks for the very first time since they started playing each other in 1905. So that's 111 years.
Goodness.
I know. In the 40-29 win, played in Chicago. They have a very strong Irish population.
Winners of the World Series.
In Chicago and in Boston. Yeah. So they were playing their rugby there. So
that put an end to the All Blacks' Tier 1 world record run of 18 consecutive victories.
Yeah,
they keep beating Ireland.
Yeah, they keep beating everyone. And it was a 40-29 win. So well done, you Irishman. Or is that a Scottish accent?
Now, what's happening in Formula 1 Grand Prix?
Well, Formula 1 Grand Prix, we both like to wish we could drive like Daniel Ricciardo around the Albert Park track. Daniel Ricciardo, our Aussie superstar, has spent the past week training and surfing in California as he contemplates turning around a less than stellar record at your new home Grand Prix, the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Yes, love the Brazilian Grand Prix.
He has had 5 starts at the race, but has just finished in the points once, 10th in 2013. But I think he will do much better this time. And McLaren veteran Fernando Alonso has nominated him as the best driver on the grid for 2016. Fernando Alonso said, "I would say Ricciardo right now, because of the way he approaches racing, he's always very committed to everything he does. On track, you cannot see any mistakes when you are together with him. In the overtaking manoeuvres, probably he is the best out there. When he commits to one movement, 99% of the time, he will achieve the result that he wanted." So, well done. Look forward to hearing how Daniel goes in Interlagos.
In Brazil, yes.
In Brazil. Is that in Sao Paulo, Interlagos?
No, I'm not sure. I haven't looked that up on the map.
Maybe it's near Porto Alegre.
Maybe I need to do a trip.
Porto Alegre. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, tell us what's happening in tennis, because I believe there's been a change at the top of the men's rankings.
That's right, Stuart. I'm very excited to announce that Andy Murray has now become number one in the world after reaching the semi-finals of the Paris Masters. He then went on to win the final against American John Isner in a tight three-set match, and he has now taken over from Novak Djokovic at the top of the rankings. So that is really good. Now, he... Andy Murray first got to number two, I think it was like 7 years ago. And that is an example of perseverance.
Yes.
Don't give up. He had injuries, back surgery, came back from those, and he's persevered by having the best season to become now number one at the end. Just like Angelique Kerber at the top of the women's rankings. Now, the finals of the men's ATP finals are this week or next week. No, this week. Anyway, no, they're next week. So we'll be talking about them next week. And this week just gone was the second tier finals for the women, the WTA Elite Trophy in Zhuhai in China. And Petra Kvitova was in ominous form. She won all her round robin matches. She won the semis and she won the final. And Aussie Sam Stosur was there, but she didn't win any matches. Now, poor Sam.
Now, in golf, Australian veteran Rod Pampling has broken through for his first US PGA Tour victory in over a decade.
Yeah.
He triumphed by two shots in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And he announced that Australians are back in the golfing world. Mm. And I think the real story here is the fact that people win golfing events at decent ages.
Well, you don't have to be young and fit to win. You just have to be good on the day. And that's why, you know, even Masters players, someone in their 50s or 60s or even older can even play in the national tournaments there and still have a good round and be up there.
Well, the last time he won one of these US Tour wins was in 2006.
Yes. So good old 10 years difference. He's now 42, I think.
That's right. So it's a fantastic effort from him and also countryman Greg.
No, he's 47. Greg Chalmers is 42 and he won a tournament this year.
He did.
It's proof that older guys can win.
Yeah.
Oh, there's hope for us. Yeah, Stuart, we need to take up golf.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to our second half. And now you're going to hear some interesting updates on some Masters events that have occurred recently. So the first Masters event we're going to talk about is the World Masters Athletics, which was held in Perth.
And you were there, so you can give us your reporter's version.
Yes. Now, this is not a specific LGBTI event.
No, it's not.
This is actually an open event for the World Masters.
But there are a lot of LGBTI people from Melbourne and around the country and the world that we know that were there.
Now, I'd like to feature one in particular and then talk about the results overall. So one of our featured...
It'd have to be the hurdles.
Yes, one of our featured athletes on this station is Paul Skipper.
Hello, Paul, if you're listening.
Now, Paul's in the 45 to 49 age group. I'm sorry to out him about that. But he competed in the 400-metre hurdles as well as the flat four. So in the 400-metre hurdles, it was an amazing event which he presented through some videos that we saw.
I've seen the videos, yeah, the vision.
First of all, he was in a heat. He needed to be in the top two to qualify automatically, and then the next few qualifiers based on times. So he was sitting in about fourth. He thought he had no hope coming.
And it was pouring with rain. Yeah.
There was a Brazilian American wave in front, Brazilian on the inside in lane one. Mm. Final hurdle, the Brazilian hits the hurdle. Paul realizes he only needs to pass one to get an automatic qualifier. He's quite a bit behind the Briton, but actually he passed him just on the line with a great dip and made the final as an automatic qualifier.
Because Paul has a good finish because he runs 800s as well.
He does.
He can chase people down, and he did do that. But when I saw the vision of the Brazilian hitting the last hurdle and that fell inside the track, I went... But then I saw Paul, I thought, oh, wow.
And then the final. So he's in lane six, I think, for the final, which wasn't a bad draw given he got the seventh fastest qualifying time.
Yeah.
So he's in the race, and he's doing reasonably well, sort of sitting in about sixth position. The American, whose name is Carnell Vickers, 49 years of age, was in a head-to-head battle against the Swede Mattias Sunneborn, and the Swede was catching the American, looked like he would overtake him, hit the last hurdle but managed to keep going, so then fell a little bit behind the American and then dived on the line, which is a new trend in
we saw that in the Olympics.
He didn't quite make it, but he was lying full length on the track with his shoulder across the line, which meant he'd actually passed, finished second. So they ran respectively 57.50 and 57.59 for the 400
hurdles. Oh, my God,
hurdles.
He nearly got him.
And Paul, along with the rest of the field, finished either side of this prone body on the track. Paul finished in seventh in the time of 103.96. So well done, Paul Skipper, for making the final.
All right. Now, have you got some other quick results for us?
I do. I can talk about the women's 45 event. So the same event, 400 hurdles for women. It was run initially, and the result was German Evelyn Nagel finished in first.
Is there anyone we know in it?
And then, unfortunately, and then an Australian, Lenore Lambert, was second, and a third was Afke van Dalen from the Netherlands. Mm. And then it had to be rerun because they didn't have enough hurdles on the track.
Oh, that is hilarious! I was wondering how relevant it was to.
One of the athletes, Lambert, was expressed frustration at the setup error. She said, "I've already competed about 15 times. I've got two other races. The last thing I need is to rerun anything."
I know, but you.
It would have been better to have gone again. If it was half an hour later while we were still warm. Putting up the wrong number of hurdles is a rookie error, but we got through it, and it was the same result.
No, but do you know what? With that, in hurdles, you have a stride pattern.
Yes,
and if there isn't the right number of hurdles, you're out of whack straight away.
I know. They must have left the last one off or something.
Oh, how bizarre. That is bizarre.
But getting to the nub of the Masters Games is the older athletes. So 97-year-old John Gilmour, he dubbed his last race as the, quote, last laps at the World Masters Athletics in Perth. He came out of retirement for the fourth time to run the 400 and the 1500 in his age category of 95 to 99.
Was he the only one in it?
Yes, he won gold as a result. Finished with a finishing time in the 800 of 9 minutes 19.93 seconds.
Oh my God!
And he also won the John Gilmour won the 400. That was the 800. And the winner of the 400 was Arthur Carbon, men's 96 for Australia in 3 minutes 30.92. But if you want to hear about some of the quality events in the meet, here's the results of the women's 100. It was won by Wendy Seegers of Australia in 11.88. She's 40 years of age. Second was Heike Martin from Germany in 12.30.
Are you sure she wasn't Heike Dreschler?
And Karen Long from Australia in 12.47. So there's some amazing times. That's women's 40. In the men's 100, the fastest time I've seen was a Great Britain athlete in men's 40 to 44. His name is Osai Taminanegui Ofo, and he ran 10.58.
That's pretty good.
Yes, an Australian, Ashley McMahon, in that men's 40 to 44, came second in 10.67, and Steve Lucenay from France in 10.78 in third.
All right.
So high quality events.
Now, Stuart, we'll have to digress because we're also going to talk about the swimming.
Yes.
And otherwise, you could talk for hours about Masters Athletics.
Yes, but
do you want to briefly mention how you went in the walks?
Yes, I had a great meet. Thank you for asking. And I'm sure listeners are fascinated, but I came away with 5 medals from the meet, 2 gold because the Australians won the 10 and 20 kilometre teams events.
Yes,
Australia did very well as the host country and got the highest number of medals.
Yep,
and teams events in particular,
45 to 49.
And in my individual events, I took gold in the 10k in 49.08, and then I took a silver in the 5k. Well done, James Christmas, who won that event, and I took a bronze in the 20.
And then you were carted off in an ambulance because you collapsed.
I did the 20 kilometres and then another couple of metres until the stretcher. But well done to Swedish number one in all age groups, Krista Svensson, who won that event in 1 hour 46, and second was Dean Nipperus of Queensland.
How long did it take you?
Don't even talk about it. It was 17 minutes behind my PB.
No, I don't care about that.
Hour 51.
So you were a bit behind the winner, but it doesn't matter. You just had to finish.
I was leading at 16.
No, but Stuart, it was... collapsed.
Yes,
you hit the wall.
I hit an absolute wall. And someone said to me, "What does a wall mean?" I can't tell you. Mental, physical, everything.
Do you
went
know
wrong.
Why? Because you didn't train.
Didn't train for it. No.
Yeah, I can tell you that. Now, Stuart, what you would have to train for is the Pan Pacific Games on the Gold Coast.
Now, this is a wider games, not just athletics.
Yeah, I know. And the swimming portion of it, the Melbourne Glamourhead Sharks were involved, and we had some really good results. Charles Williams picked up a bronze in the 400.
Sir Charles.
Yeah, in the 400 breaststroke. Cody Webb won the 400 breaststroke, and he got a silver in the 400 IM. Mark Sendecki won the 400 IM and was second in the 50 fly. And Jake McLaughlin and Steve Game both did well in their events, with Jake getting bronze in the 50 fly. And then the medley relay team got silver. Now, that was one day. In another day, Steve Game was back. It was swimmer of the day, competing in three 200 events, the fly, the free, and the IM. And he'd never done any of them, and he did quite well. Mark Sendenke got three golds and one silver in the 200 free, 200 IM, and the 100 free, and the 100 back. And Todd Patrick got gold in the 100 back. And then Charles Williams did well again in his events. And then Cody Webb got a gold, silver and a bronze in the 200 free, 200 breaststroke and 200 IM. And then the 4x50 relay team just finished out of a medal in fourth. And then on the final day, there were a three-day event, Cody Webb got 400 free gold and a PB and silver 200 backstroke. Todd Patrick got gold in the 50 back. And in the mixed relay, and Steve Game did the 400 free and the 100 fly, and then Mark Sendecki got gold in the 100 fly and the 50 breast. Amazing effort by all those glamour head sharks who are listening. And as a postscript to that, Mark Sendecki has won the 30 to 34 year old National Swim Series. So that's an amazing. And other glamour head sharks with top 10 places were Jake McLaughlin, Cody Webb, Todd Patrick, and Jason Buckner.
Gee, the Glams are doing well in their swimming.
They are, and I hope to be joining them in Miami if I'm well enough.
We talked very briefly about the shocker American election results. We talked about cricket and the unfortunate loss of the Australians to South Africa in the first test. Hopefully they can turn it around in the next two. We also talked about potential new coach Shane Warne coming in for the T20s, potentially.
Yep.
We had a look at the changes in the top tier of Australian netball, the embarrassment for Jared Hayne and the pornography scenario in front of the school audience in Robina. We talked about the Irish shock win. Robina. The Irish shock win over the New Zealand in Chicago,
yep.
And also some Formula One results. Thanks for us on That Sports Show.
Yes, on That Sports Show.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.